Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. And now for our weekly Marriage on the Mind segment with our marriage coach, Deb Olniak, Executive Director of Great Marriages for Sheboygan County in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, a group whose innovative couple-to-couple mentoring program has an 87% success rate in saving struggling marriages. And that's compared to 28% with traditional marriage counselors. Every week, Deb joins us for storytelling about marriage, and we take calls about marriage. Today's topic, chronic pain and how it can affect a marriage. A topic you may not have heard discussed before anywhere. And again, if you have questions or even stories for Deb about this topic, give us a call at 1-877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. Let's now go to Deb's conversation with Pam Puckett and Cindy Snyder Ray of the Chronic Joy Ministry. Pam and her daughter have chronic illnesses, and Cindy and four of her kids have chronic illness, experiences that led to the formation of their ministry. Here's Deb.
Our human nature wants to run away from situations that are painful, but you guys don't have that choice, do you?
No, we really don't.
We try sometimes.
Yeah. We like to pretend we're running away, but it just doesn't happen. Physical pain just continues to follow you, I'm certain, correct?
Yes. It does. I think one of the hardest things is that there is no break from it. You can't take a vacation from chronic illness. You can't, leave for college and leave the chronic illness behind. You can't make a job change. There's nothing you can do to separate your life from illness. So it really is learning how to live well with it in the midst of what you're dealing with.
Right. Do you, I'm going to focus in, Cindy, on your situation. Being that your family and multiple family members are suffering from this, tell us how that works. I mean, with kids and schedules and routine and non-routine, how does that all play out with medical help, et cetera?
So we learned early on, because our middle daughter, Anna, was pretty sick as a four-year-old. She spent almost a full year at Children's Hospital on and off. And we learned early on that the medical portion of it was going to be a big component of our life even then, before we understood how serious all this was. So we have homeschooled all the way along, not because of that, but that has become a huge benefit to us as a family, because we can work around illness. We can work around all these doctor's appointments and all the hospitalizations. We just take school with us wherever it is, and it's worked out very well for us. But it is a big challenge. We don't go on family vacations. It's very difficult to go out to eat. Our oldest son now almost never leaves home. So we host holidays here and parties here because he's unable to leave, and we really don't want to leave him alone. Mm-hmm. So it really does affect absolutely everything, and it becomes a way of life. Not that that's necessarily bad, but it's definitely challenging.
Right. And, I mean, what does a regular month or week look like for you guys related to medical help?
So on an average basis, we spend at least 2 days a week down at Children's Hospital with the kids, seeing a whole variety of specialists, from GI to neurology, cardiology, hematology, orthopedics, physical therapy, occupational therapy. There's just an endless list of doctors that they see. Fortunately, we have some of the most incredible doctors and teams that I could ever expect to have for any of my kids.
This is amazing, because we're talking about, physical pain, but the financial pain, and I'd like to hear from Cindy first and Pam, has got to be very difficult on your family, the next biggest stress in the marriage.
It has been really significant. I would say that our single biggest capital outlay every year is medical, and it's the medications themselves are incredibly expensive. There is one medication that my daughter and I both use That is $4,500 every time we fill it. It's not a monthly medication, thankfully, but it's an incredibly expensive one that insurance does not cover. And then some of the treatments that my kids experience can be $30,000 every time we do them. Again, we've been incredibly blessed with good insurance, and my husband has a really good job, so that has helped tremendously, but it is definitely our single biggest capital outlay every year.
Yeah. How about you, Pam?
Because it started when my daughter was 12, you know, it became what we just considered normal. I mean, as much as that doesn't make sense, it's just, you know, your number one expense, and you just make it work. It doesn't always work, and there are lots of things that you do without. There are times that, you know, I hate to admit in any marriage, but, you know, we tend to occasionally argue. We refer to it as loud discussions occasionally about the finances. Not so much that we disagree that we need to spend the money. We're just frustrated. We don't know how to make it all work, you know, and you try so hard because this is your kid. And you know, the medication is expensive, or you know, it's all the little things. It's not even, I mean, the big things are there. Those seem, you know, that they're coming, that big expensive doctor's appointment or whatever that might be, but it's the nickel and dimes. It's every time you go to the pharmacy, it's one more thing. And then it's the supplements on top of that. And then it's, you know, it's just one more thing after another. It's just like you never quite ever get back to a place that you feel comfortable. Yeah. And yet I would suggest that that may be the best place our marriage has gone. We've had to come to decide that we have to trust that it's going to work out, because somehow it does.
What is the best suggestion that you have for people listening that might be suffering from either an emotional illness, a chronic physical illness, that is one of those kind of life sentences things? What do you suggest to them to help build a stronger marriage? I mean, that's a big question.
So what if in any and every relationship, including marriage, we remove expectation and learn to offer grace in its place to one another? Mm. That's where I think we're learning, that when I extend grace and let my husband feel frustrated about the finances and I listen, and it doesn't allow, I don't get involved in expecting him to, he's just working through what he needs to work through. And he does that for me as well, as I work through the frustration that my kid's sick. And when we offer grace, those conversations are much better than when we expect the other person to be or do something that is not possible.
Right. I'm going to throw that question to Cindy, too. Do you have any suggestions for folks that might want to grow their marriage in the midst of pain?
I think that one of the things we looked at was, at one point, we were really just hanging on to our marriage. And we were in it because we were committed, but we really had no idea how to communicate or get along with one another, so we avoided each other. We came together for the things we needed to come together for, dealing with the kids, dealing with the medical, dealing with the financial, but together we had lost connection with each other. And at one point I looked at him and I said, you know, we really have to give ourselves grace, because we have stayed together. The divorce rate is incredibly high when people have one chronically ill child. We have four, and you have a wife who's chronically ill. And I said, you know, there's something incredible about the fact that our commitment has kept us together. And we need to look at that and embrace that and celebrate that. That is a good thing, even if that's all we had. And I would say that anybody who's in that place and at that absolute breaking point, there is hope. It can get better. It takes a lot of hard work, but it is possible, and it is so worth it. We're in a better place now, a year and a half later. We learned how to talk to one another, and there were a lot of tears and there was a lot of frustration, but it started to slowly melt, and we learned how to communicate with one another again, and we found each other again. And it's been an incredible journey, and it's been worth all of the hard times.
This is Lee Habib. This is Our American Stories. Chronic pain. Marriage. When we come back, we'll talk with Deb Wolniak. We'll actually hear a little more from those two remarkable folks who are trying to minister to marriages under the stress of chronic illness and chronic pain. This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, our Marriage on the Mind segment with Deb Wolniak, Pam Paquette, Cindy Snyder-Ray of the Chronic Joy Ministry. We heard from both of them. And Deb, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for bringing up this important topic.
Well, I was amazed when I started learning more and more about how pervasive chronic illness is in our society. 40% of adults in any given group suffer from chronic pain.
Yep. Yeah, and I know this one firsthand. My wife has experienced chronic pain most of her life. Serious back pain, knee pain, chronic migraines, and it's a handful, and it can be tough. And it's tough on her, it's tough on me, it's tough on the child. And how to navigate your way through it, we've really learned how, and that grace thing is so important. But the woman feels guilty in my case. I sometimes feel powerless. Things go unsaid, and it's just really difficult. And that 40% number does not surprise me at all, Deb.
And so many people suffer silently because as much as you guys are feeling the pain internally, emotionally, physically, etc., there's a lot of people that you just don't even feel like you want to talk to because it's always in your face. You know what I mean? That's a tough situation. You have a tendency to start to feel alone, and it can affect you. It can even bring on some depression here and there.
So. No doubt, because what are you going to do when you say, how's your day going? What do you want to say? I'm in pain, and then the next thing you know, you're that person complaining about their pain all the time. And so then you internalize it, and then you're off to the races to being alone, being lonely, and facing depression. And then the two just sort of feed off each other. How did you stumble upon both Pam and Cindy, Deb?
Well, so I was at a writer's conference, just a private small one up here in the Wisconsin area about a year ago. And what was amazing is a wonderful group of women from around the country in Alaska came together. And we met, and Pam and Cindy and I really hit it off. And I was really amazed at her stories. She's a storyteller, and to be published, hopefully by the summer, with three other books to follow on this exact issue. And we want to make sure that people can connect with her and their website as well. Because you're going to want to read some of these books to help get additional resources and support.
I'm going to want to read them myself, Deb. I mean, it's, you know, you can think you're over the hump and you can count on grace, but there are some techniques, there are some things you can do and plot along, and any kind of educational support for people here in this particular space, we want to connect folks with. I wanted to play a clip, Deb, and get your comment. Your last question to these two ladies was, what words of encouragement could they offer others that are dealing with chronic illness, whether it be themselves or a loved one? And let's take a listen to their answer.
Mine is more of a question. And the question is, what if? What if illness, what if this stripping away of our health, of our dreams, of our understanding of who we are and what our future holds is really a gift? What if that is where we find God, unencumbered by all the noise, by all these things that clutter our hearts? What if as a culture we look at illness all wrong? What if it's really those who are most ill who are really most blessed? Because what if that is where hope is, where we learn to see what is most important right here, right in this moment, the beautiful, the hard, the precious, right here? What if that is true?
Yeah. That is a really tough thing to follow because I knew what she was going to say.
Well, okay, but let's drill it back to, I mean, this is your piece as well, because yes, very eloquent, but your story is equally as important. Your feedback is equally as important because you hold a very valuable place in this piece.
I think the word inconvenient is an odd place to suggest might be encouragement. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's those really inconvenient moments, those really inconvenient things that happen in our lives that actually turn out to have great purpose. I know now from this vantage point that taking the time to sit with Cindy one day when we really didn't know each other, it changed my life forever, because what took her family 7 years to become diagnosed with was, I can't help but say that this was a God moment. he knew that I would need to know that someone came before me. And it took us 1 year to get my daughter from beginning to geneticist because of the preparation of taking that moment, that time to sit with Cindy and allow a friendship to begin. So my encouragement is pretty simple. If it seems inconvenient, it might be God, and I don't want to miss it.
That's pretty powerful, Deb. And I think we've all had that experience in our lives. Those things that were most inconvenient actually taught us so much about ourselves, about our lives, and made us stop and get closer to that space. So if you're a believer in God, most certainly, and whatever else your core beliefs might be, it most certainly, those toughest times in life got you closer to those things. Talk about faith in all of this. And again, not everybody here is a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist or whatever the various people listening are of faith. But talk about the role of faith and grace in these two women's lives.
Well, you can definitely sense it. This is a couple of women that actually, when they first met, were having a really hard time getting along because their sons weren't getting along. But as they continued to work together and they continued to learn that they had both had a very unique illness, it was definitely a God moment that they came together to support each other and then to eventually reach out and encourage others. So that moment, I believe, was, you know, definitely one of those fingerprints of God moments, because from that moment and them working together, and just like a really good marriage, you take those teachable moments that seem really hard, you keep communicating, you keep finding those small rays of hopes and enjoy even the simple things. I mean, it sounds crazy for some people that struggle with digestive disorders. Some days if you can just keep something down, it's like, thank the Lord. You know, you just even that just brings a ray of hope. But for so many that struggle with this day in, day out, I just want to encourage couples, keep going. Keep going in your relationship and communicating, and then keep educating yourself about those illnesses and allow yourself some space and people to come around you to maybe even take time with your spouse if you need a break, etc. And really reach out. Let people know where you're at and take away the stigma. We have got to do this in this culture where we don't, you know, point fingers, but we come around and just love on each other because we really need it, especially in these times where we're feeling so alone or deprived. We need each other to keep going and pushing through it. And those that do find that their marriage is even stronger, even in the midst of those changes. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about that next week.
Yeah, we will. We're going to continue with this theme and this subject with Deb Wolniak here on our Marriage on the Mind segment, because it's a big one. Again, when we hear the number 40%, it's staggering. But I don't think people think about chronic pain that way, or mental illness, or chronic illness. And you know, Deb, we spent some time on mental illness not too long ago, and you know, not too long ago we spent some time commemorating Nancy Reagan. And, you know, everybody saw her as a woman of strength, but, you know, what she dealt with, she never really spoke about in depth. But my goodness, this man she loved had just been eaten up by Alzheimer's. And what those last few years and many years, I mean, it wasn't just a few, it was many. That's something, thank goodness, that we talk about here on the show. And we look forward to continuing the theme with you next week, Deb. Thanks so much for bringing this one up with us.
Absolutely. And by the way, for anyone's looking at the website, chronic-joy.org. Go check it out.
You bet. That's chronic-joy.org, and that's the Chronic Joy Ministry, and that's Pam Paquette and Cindy Snyder-Ray. Those are the two really courageous women who you heard talking. And Deb, again, thanks, by the way, for that answer. That inconvenience answer was just really stunning and really startlingly good. Much appreciated, as always, Deb.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself.
You bet. And this is Lee Habib. This is Our American Stories. And to catch all of our Marriage on the Mind segments, you can go to our website, hit topics, and there they are. They'll go straight down. If you're in a marriage, you're finding yourself struggling through any particular point, we're trying to capture all the struggle points, all the stress points. By the way, we also talk about successful marriages, and we talk about, you know, how to get through. We talk to people who've been married, what, 70 years, guys, a couple of weeks ago? A couple have been married 70 years, And so we had a young lady on here from Ole Miss, maybe a year out of college, and her husband had graduated from Ole Miss, and he was a star on the football team. And well, he didn't get drafted in the NFL, and he had lost his identity. And he was struggling, and so she was struggling. And she came on the air and talked. And this is the continuum of marriage. It never gets easier. And sharing wisdom, sharing stories together, that's all we can do in this world. And ultimately share solutions where we can. And the biggest one, you're not alone. You're not alone no matter what you're going through. And so go to our Marriage on the Mind segments at OurAmericanNetwork.org. Take a listen. Deb's wisdom is, well, we sought the best in the country when we wanted to do this marriage segment, and we found her in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. That's Deb Walniak. That's Marriage on the Mind. This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories.